Hi everyone, welcome back. Jeff Sachs here from Web Yeshiva and Mishkan Sipora Congregation, Mishkan Sipora in Efrat, coming to you live from Efrat. We are in Masechet, there it is, there's Mishkan Sipora celebrating Yom Ha'atzmaut. Who am I getting this static from? There you go. Bracha, I have muted you because I was getting some static back through your microphone. Anybody can, of course, unmute yourselves at will. We are in Masechet Ta'anit, Daf Yud Beis Omid Beis, 12b, towards the top. Let me just get the... here. Omar of Kahana... Omarav. Yochid shekibel alav ta'anit, asur b'ne'ilat ha-sandal. Chayshinan shema ta'anit tzibur kibel alav. If a person accepts upon himself a fast, we're not talking about the fasts connected to the destruction of the temple that are part of our regular calendar. But again, this is a little unfamiliar to us, because as we've said a couple of times, aside from Yartzeit, there aren't too many times that a person adds fast days nowadays. And even then, not everybody fasts on Yoret sites. We're accustomed to fasting on the regular cycle of fast days that are part of the set calendar. But as we know from having learned the Masecht already until now, in the days of Chazal, people, first of all, the Chachamim would add fast days at need according to different agricultural meteorological trauma that was going on as a way of generating some national type of repentance. But individuals would customarily fast, apparently more frequently than we do today. And if an individual accepted upon himself a fast, the Gemara says, or at least suggests here, that Rav Kahana says in the name of Rav, that the person cannot wear leather shoes. As you know, there are differences between what we call the major fast days and the minor fast days. The major fast days, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, aside from being 24-hour fasts instead of just sunrise to dawn to dusk fasts, have additional prohibitions. There are five inuim, five prohibitions on those major fast days, aside from eating and drinking, of course, is one, but wearing leather shoes, bathing, washing, anointing oneself, and sexual intercourse are all forbidden on those major fast days. So in the Gemara here says that a person accepts upon himself a fast, he can't wear leather shoes. That may very well be a sign for all of those additional prohibitions. That might just be a kind of shorthand way of saying those additional prohibitions. Why would we think that the additional stringencies of the major fast days applies to a person's individual fast? Because the Gemara says when a person randomly accepts upon himself a fast, we suspect that maybe he, in doing so, he was accepting upon himself the additional prohibitions and stringencies of a ta'anit sibur. Hechilavid, so what should you do? What should an individual do in order to make sure that he doesn't have to do, like all the people that we talked last week about, people who actually do fast for yard sites, and how they should, the day before the fast in Mincha, accept upon themselves the fast for the next day. Certainly, we've never heard of anyone accepting upon himself those additional prohibitions. So, hechi laved, what should a person do? Oma Rabba Bar Rav Shela, le mahochi. Let him say the following. Le machar, ehe lefanecha betanit yochid. When you accept your fast upon yourself, you should specify that you are accepting a ta'anit yachid, where the only prohibition is eating and drinking from morning until evening, and then you obviate the problem. There'd be no suspicion that you were accepting upon yourself those additional prohibitions. Uh, Omru le Rabbanon le Rav Sheshit, ha ke chazinan Rabbanon, de mesayme mesanayhu vaatu lebei ta'anita. So the Chachamim, the students, said to Rav Sheshit, we see Chachamim, we see rabbis, we see holy people who wear shoes and go to, wear leather shoes and go to the Beit Knesset on a fast day. So that kind of indicates that we shouldn't be worried about people, that this fear is unnecessary. Right? We don't need to be worried that people that when a person accepts a fast upon himself, that he's accepting the prohibition against leather shoes. So what does Rav Sheshit say? Ikpid, he got agitated. V'omri lehu, and he said to them, Dilma mechel dami ochil. He rejects their proof. Generally speaking, bringing a proof, bringing a ma'aseh, like bringing a proof from the behavior and the actions of people, is a pretty strong high-level proof. So if Sheshit says, he rejects that idea, and he says, maybe they're even eating on a fast day. You know, who's to say that they're doing the right thing? Maybe they're wearing leather shoes. Rav Sheshit apparently was stringent in this matter. He said, if they're wearing leather shoes on a minor fast day, maybe they're also eating on the minor fast day. So Abaye v'Rava Ma'ile ki misaime apanta. Abaye and Rava would go out wearing apparently leather shoes on fast days. But they would wear.
Can I clarify something?
Yep.
We're talking about, like the minor, let's say Shiva Sarbatamos and Sarbatavit, that there's some people who say that you can't wear leather shoes on those days.
So, in other words, we're talking about people who accept upon themselves an individual fast, whether or not, when accepting an individual fast upon themselves, they have to be stringent with the additional prohibitions, or at least leather shoe wearing. But we'll see in a second, we'll come back to your point, Shalom, in a second, about what we call the minor fasts and, you know, how they work.
You said that that Rav Sheshit, in general, we take into account what people, actions we see people do. Is it possible that Rav Sheshit, who was blind, didn't, because of that, he was not the kind of person who was going to worry that much of what, is visual evidence, that maybe that wasn't his concern?
I don't know. I'm not sure that a ma'aseh is visual evidence as much as it is.
Well, no, it specifically says chazinan, so.
Oh, yes.
Maybe he was a little bit like, take offense at their.
Maybe. Let me see something. I don't know. Yeah, this happens not infrequently. Like a quick search on the Bar Ilan should be able to tell us. We have this idea of Chachamim reporting things to Rav Sheshit, saying Chazinan. Meaning, I would translate this as we observe, but means we see, which might not be the most sensitive way of phrasing something in conversation with a blind person. I actually had a very long conversation with Erez Biton, not long. Erez Biton's, rather well-known Israeli poet who's blind. And his blindness features quite prominently in his poetry. He was blinded, a tragedy. In the 1950s, he was a child, and there was an undetonated mine, or an undetonated hand grenade that had been, left abandoned after the war. And as a child, he came across it, and it exploded, and it left him handicapped and blind. And in this conversation with him, he very frequently used the expression, Kein ra'iti, meaning, I see. Like the way in English we would say, I see, to mean, I understand. And I couldn't help notice how frequently he used, idioms of sight to mean understanding. And I thought that was interesting coming from a blind man. David, maybe it could be. I'm not sure. So Omar Rava Abai Rava Maile Bay Ki Misaime Afanta. They would go out on a fast day wearing these shoes, which apparently are leather shoes. Tosfot here says they're leather shoes, but the leather is on top, like the upper of the shoe is leather. It's like a strange kind of shoe. Rashi seems to say it's a slipper of some sort. Tosfot says it's a shoe. It's a kind of sandal that has no bottom, or maybe it's a kind of sandal that they were wearing upside down, right? So that their feet were in contact with the floor. Halacha l'maaseh on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, when we say no leather shoes, we want shoes that have no leather whatsoever, which today is much easier to get, thanks to the vegan and the animal rights people. There are all types of very fancy, nice shoes that are not made out of leather, but don't look like, my Tisha B'Av shoes look like, well, now I wear Crocs. Now we have all of Crocs. But I used to have like a pair of Keds. Remember those cheap, canvas sneakers? So now you can get fancy shoes that you'd wear to your wedding that are not made out of leather. So what they would do is they would wear shoes. Let's explain the Gemara here, which is not 100% clear what these shoes are. But let's explain it, that they would wear shoes. They would wear their shoes kind of like upside down, so that they could walk, because they didn't want to walk barefoot. But what should you do? Like, what, in the days of Chazal, they didn't have Keds and they didn't have Crocs. So you could walk barefoot, I guess. But what should you do? Halacha l'maaseh, what should you do, by the way, on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur if you don't have non-leather shoes? And it's not practical, let's say, to walk to shul barefoot. I mean, the halacha talks about, places of danger where we're afraid of, like, snakes or scorpions or things that'll get you if you're barefoot. But it's also just sometimes impractical or impossible because the street is hot, or you have to walk, in the rain or something like that. So one option is to wear your shoes, when you're outdoors, in an uncomfortable or an unusual manner, to show that you're wearing them for safety, but not for comfort. So that's what Abaye and Rava would do. Mareimar umar zutra mechalfe dimina l'smolo smolo limina. They would wear the left shoe on the right foot and the right shoe on the left foot for a similar purpose. Rabbanan de be Rav Ashi nafki ki urchayhu. They would also go out in a kind of unusual manner. They would wear their shoes. I don't know. Maybe they put a pebble in their shoe. They do something like the savri ki haida omer Shmuel, because they agree with the position of Shmuel. No, I'm sorry. I said that wrong. They, Rabbanan Debe Rav Ashi, would go out wearing their shoes normally. If they had to wear shoes on a fast day, they wore normal shoes. Why? Because they held like Shmuel. And Shmuel said, Ein tanit sibur b'bavel, ela tisha b'av bilvad. Because Shmuel said that the prohibitions of the prohibition against wearing leather shoes, do not apply in Bavel, aside, of course, from Yom Kippur, except on Tisha B'Av. But the other fasts, the other communal fasts that would be instituted, like they had in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they would institute communal fasts. And on some of those communal fasts, if the rain had really not come, you start fasting. This is what the Mishnah had said. You start fasting a little bit, then you start fasting more until you work up into it's a whole proper 24-hour fast. In Eretz Yisrael, on those fasts, they would conduct themselves according to all of the additional prohibitions, including not wearing leather shoes. But Shmuel holds that in Bavel, there's no time when you can't wear leather shoes, except on Tisha B'Av, and of course, it goes without saying, on Yom Kippur. So in Bavel, there's no need to worry about having to. This all goes back to the earlier Gemara. In Bavel, there's no fear that if a person takes upon himself a fast, that maybe he accidentally took upon himself the more stringent fast and therefore should have to not wear shoes. That's Shmuel's position. You never have to worry about doing that because those fasts do not apply. They never occur in Bavel. Now the Gemara goes on to a new topic. Omar of Yehuda, Omar Rav. Hold on a second, let me make this bigger. Omar of Yehuda, Omar Rav. Lo ve'adam ta'anito uforeya. A person can borrow and repay a fast. What does that mean? Chi amrita kamei de Shmuel Omar lei v'chi neder ki bela leha delo sage delo mishalem? What is it talking about? A person accepts upon himself a fast. And then for some reason he can't fast. He can, quote unquote, break his fast and then make it up. Meaning he can borrow a day of eating from the future and pay back a day of not eating at some unspecified date later. So Shmuel says, what is he talking about? Did he take a neder? To fast? In which case, how could he repay it? In other words, if I say, today I'm going to fast, and for some reason I can't fast, so if it's in a case of onus, I'm sick, I take deathly ill, God forbid, and I can't fast, so anyway I'm off the hook from the net there. Because if it's a case of onus, if something is completely out of my control, so I'm exempt from my vow, I'm exempt from my neder. And if I just stam break my neder, you know what the punishment for breaking a neder is? The avera of having broken the neder. But I can't make it up because that day that I took the neder to fast on no longer exists. A person took upon himself to afflict himself on that day. If he's able, so then he should afflict himself through fasting on that day. And if he can't fast on that day for whatever reason, so then he doesn't fast. So there's a different version of what Shmuel said, which brings you to the different conclusion. So Ikad de Amre means Yesh Omrim. There are those that record the tradition in a different manner. And in this case, it's not a matter of nuance, it's a matter of result. So, Ika de Amre, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Lo ve'adam ta'anito uforeya. A person can borrow from the future and pay back his fast day later. Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel. When this halacha was reported in front of Shmuel, Omar lei, pshita. Obvious. Certainly somebody can do that. Lo yehe el neder. Right? It's only like a neder. It's only like a vow. Neder milo matzi bo'i l'shalumei umeza l'machar l'yom achrina. Right? And like with a vow, if he's not required to repay on the next day or at some other time, right? So in other words, since you took a vow to fast and you couldn't fast today, so you have to take a fast in the future. So what would you think are the essential differences between these two contrary positions? What is it?
Are you fasting? Is the issue of you're deciding you're going to fast, or you're deciding to fast on a specific day?
Oh, right. As if I say I'm going to fast on, you know, this coming day, this historic day, this particular day, there's some event that I want to fast because of that day, and for whatever reason you couldn't fast on that day. If I say I'm going to fast, it's going to be my 50th birthday. So on my 50th birthday, I think of how fat I am, or how out of shape I am, and I'm going to take, I want to make a, not a neder, but I want to make a resolution that in the future I'm going to get into shape. My 50th birthday is long behind me. Don't worry. But if a person should say this, and they say so, on my 50th birthday, I'm going to get off to the right foot. I'm going to fast that day. But if on his 50th birthday something happened and he was unable to fast, so you can't make that up. You can't step into the same river twice. You're never going to have another 50th birthday. Fasting the next day does not fulfill your vow of fasting on your 50th birthday. Right? Fasting the next day does not fulfill a vow of fasting on your father's yahrzeit if you weren't able to actually fast on the day of the yahrzeit. But somebody who takes upon himself a kind of unspecified vow that I'm going to fast, you know, a certain number of times. You know, like, remember the old bus tickets, the old cartisiot? Right? I just found a bunch of old cartisiot, like, stuck into a book, where you'd buy a bus pass that had, whatever it was, 15 trips on it, and you could use it. It was good forever. I wonder if I have some that are unclicked, if I could still get onto it. I doubt Egged would honor it still, these old bus tickets from the 90s, right? But every time you go, the bus driver would punch, you know, one ride on your card. So that's not special. You didn't buy bus tickets for a specific date. You bought them. So if you take a neder, I'm going to fast a certain number of fasts. And you figure, okay, tomorrow's going to be one of those days and something happens. So then you, Taka, still owe that fast. Rav Yehoshua Barei de Rav Idi Ikla Leve Rav Asi. Rav Yehoshua, the son of Rav Idi, went to the house of Rav Asi. Avdule Egla Tilta. And they made for him this special kind of veal. The Gemara Shabbos mentions this dish, this Egla Tilta. Maybe Egla Tilta means like a third grown calf. It's the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat Daf Yud Aleph. Meaning, you know, what do they call that? Milk fed veal, you know, like a little baby calf who's only, like, you know, has never exercised any of its muscles, so the meat is very tender and it's only been fed milk from its mother, so it has none of those chemicals from the pesticides and anything else, and it's the meat is very tender. So maybe that's what it is. Whatever it is, they serve him some. He goes into the house and they've prepared some delicacy. They prepared good veal chops. So Omrulay, Litomar Midi, Bateavon, have a little something. Amar Lahu Bita'anita Yatevna. He says, no, I'm fasting today. You caught me on a fast day. I've accepted upon myself a fast. So Omrulay, the people in Ravasi's house tell him, Velozif Mar Velifra. So borrow a fast and pay it back later, right? Break your fast today, eat today, and make up the fast a different day. So obviously, what do they hold? They hold against the first position in Shmuel. They hold that you can do this, right? They hold you can do this, that you can borrow and pay back a fast, that it's not considered breaking a neder. So he says, no. Lo savar mar lahad amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav lova adam tanito forea. Don't you agree with the fact that you can do this? You can pay back the fast later. So amar lahu tanit chalom hu. He said, yes, I agree. I agree that this halacha about paying back the fast later works. Except in my case, I'm not fasting as a regular voluntary tanit yochid, but I'm fasting because of tanit chalom. So Yehudi had asked about this case of Tanit Chalom. We are not so accustomed to Tanit Chalom. Does anybody know? Has anybody ever done a Tanit Chalom?
No, because we were taught in Yeshiva that, number one, we know now that dreams come from inside a person and not from upstairs. Number two, even in Tanakh, there's a basis for that. Ki vaha chalom barov inyan. In Kohelet, in other words, it's clear that Kohelet doesn't think that chalomot are coming as messages from on high. Chalomot are coming from your own head. So why, in heaven's name, would you have to fast because your head had a bad dream?
Right. So, well, in other words, you can answer it in two ways. Certainly in Tanakh, your posuk in Kohelet is correct, but certainly anybody that's read the Parashiot of Yosef understands that in Tanakh there's also a notion that dreams contain an element of prophecy or premonition. But even if you want to say that in Tanakh, and certainly later in the time of Chazal, understood that long before Freud, it was understood that dreams that you see at night are a reflection of your unconscious. Right? We all understand this. We've all had the anxiety dream, you know, that you, you know, even long after we're out of school, we've all had the one version or another of the anxiety dream, which usually goes something like you show up in school completely unaware that it's a major examination, that there's a test that you're unprepared for. Or later you have the dream, you walk into the boardroom or whatever your work setting is, and you discover that you're meant to be making a major presentation and you're completely, completely unprepared. Freud discusses other iterations of the anxiety dream where you get up, you get dressed. You wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you have your coffee, you get in your car, you drive to work, you walk into your office, only to discover that you'd forgotten to get dressed and you're stark naked. These are all common anxiety dreams. Freud also discusses at the beginning of the interpretation of dreams, the dream of arrested motion, where you're trying to run, maybe something is chasing you, a wild animal or a demon, and you're running, but you're not moving. You're not making any distance. You're not making any distance with running. Or you're trying to scream because something is frightening you, and nothing will come out. You know, like that's the scene of Munch's The Scream. Right? And nothing. And so, but sometimes what happens physiologically in the dream, you're unable to scream, but in fact, your body is activating your vocal cords and you, in fact, really are screaming and you wake up from the sound of your own. The scream that you were unable to make in the dream is actually coming out of your mouth in the non-sleeping world, and you wake yourself up, or you wake up your spouse laying next to you in bed because you're sleeping. These are all common anxiety dreams, and we've all experienced, you know, one or another or many of them. Before Freud, Chazal understood, and in Masechet Shabbat, I'm sorry, in Masechet Brachot, in the ninth parak of Masechet Brachot, Chazal discussed at some length, the idea that the dreams we see at night are reflections of our anxieties and our subconscious and unconscious life during the day. So you don't need to have a kind of superstitious notion of what dreams are to think that nevertheless they require that a bad dream, a frightening dream, a disturbing dream could be seen as a signal not directly from heaven, but from within our own unconscious, which after all might be influenced by heaven, to do a little tshuva. Right? If we're feeling ill at ease, perhaps that's a sign that you have to have a little cheshbon ha-nefesh. And that might be a kind of more rational way of thinking about what the Tanit Chalom is. Yes, Yehudi?
Oh, let's go to that perek of Masech HaPrachot, the ninth perek where you discuss this. They tell you something like, Haro'em, Yiladecha b'chalom, Sefer Yirmiyo b'chalom, Yidag min ha-paranot. But they don't say that they should fast the Tanit Chalom. In fact, they don't even mention the Tanit Chalom in the whole parak that talks about Chalomot. So you get the feeling that there's two different approaches here. Is it possible that maybe in Eretz Yisrael they had one approach and above a different one?
It's possible, but I am far from an expert in understanding these things.
Okay.
But, I assume somebody can quickly look this up. Anyway, but the point is that in the case in the story here in the Gemara, Rav Yehoshua, Breder of Edi, but Ofen Ekroni, he agreed that you can do this borrowing and paying back a fast, but that does not apply in the case of a Ta'anit Chalom, because the din of a Ta'anit Chalom is that it's really meant to be done. You wake up in the morning or you wake up in the middle of the night, and the very next day, you conduct that fast. V'omar Rabba Bar Machsia, Omar Rav Chama Bar Guria Omar Rav Yafet Anit Lachalom Keish Linooret. Fasting to ameliorate a dream is as good as fire is for chaff. You know, if you have like a bunch of chaff, you know, when you're done threshing your wheat, you have all this psolet, you have all this, you know, this junk, the remnants of the stalks that you no longer need, having removed all the grain, you have to get rid of it. So what do? With it? You burn it, right? You burn up the trash and it goes away, right? So he says fasting is as good for a bad dream as you know, putting things in the modern metaphor, it's like the trash compactor. You put it right down the food, the garbage disposal. You put it right down the sink, turn it on, and it gets chopped up and burned away and disappears. Omer of Chista, uvo vayom. And that very day, the next morning when you wake up, you're supposed to fast. Va'omer of Yosef, va'afilu b'Shabbos. Even if Friday night you have a bad dream, you should even do a tanit chalom on Shabbat. Normally we don't fast on Shabbat, except for Yom Kippur. Because the Torah specifies, I mean, the Gemara in Masechet Yom, people learning Daf Yomi will encounter it. The Gemara in Masechet Yom is aware that the 10th of Tishrei can come out on Shabbat. And normally we don't fast on Shabbat. But since the Torah specifies that's the day on which Yom Kippur occurs, it's doche even Shabbat. But normally speaking, our calendar is set up that the fasts don't come out on Shabbat. Tisha B'Av, which can come out on Shabbat as it does this. I'm not sure if Tisha B'Av is a Nidche this year or comes out on Motzei Shabbat.
This year is coming out on Sunday.
It comes out, but when Tisha B'Av does come out on Shabbat, we push it off to Sunday. We mentioned that last week. We don't fast on Shabbat, but a Tanit Chalom is even on Shabbat. So my Takante, so you know, you're in a kind of impossible situation. Because if you fast on Shabbat, you are not mekayem the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbat. You don't say Kiddush, you don't eat, you don't enjoy the meal, there's no herring, there's no schnapps, there's no chulent, right? You're doing damage to the sanctity of Shabbat. So what should you do? Leitev tanita la tanita. If you have a bad dream on Friday night, you should fast the tanit chalom on Shabbat. But the fasting of the tanit chalom on Shabbat itself is something that requires tshuva, and therefore you have to have another day later, you have to have another fast to make up for the fact that you fasted on Shabbat. In other words, Chazal thought that fasting on Shabbat is not a great thing, even when apparently it's necessary. Our halacha is, the Rambam says, if a person says, this is in Masechet Nedarim, in Hilchot Nedarim, the Rambam says, Omar, a person who says, Hare hein asurin lamachar, imele chayom lamakom ploni, Hare ze mutar lele chayom laoto amakom, yasua lav oto haperot lamachar, v'chein kol kiyotzi baze, v'pnei she'adam zahir b'davar ha'asur shelo la'asoto v'eino zahir b'tnai, this is not the right halacha. The next halacha. Noder latsum asara yamim. Be'eze yom sheyirtze. A person who takes a fast, I'm going to a fast 10 times. Right? I accept upon myself 10 fasts. He doesn't intend on doing it 10 days in a row, but it's in the future. He owes 10 fasts. Like I said, the punch card. V'hayam mitane biyom echad mehem. V'hutzrach ledvar mitzvah o mipnei chvod adam gadol. Hare ze ochel uforea. The Rambam introduces an idea which is not present in our Gemara. The Rambam accepts the idea of borrowing and paying back a fast if there's a need. Not just because you got hungry. Not just because something smelled really good. But if there's a dvar mitzvah, you get invited to a sudat mitzvah, someone's making a siyum, or some other thing, or there's a something in honor of a great person, there's a meal being conducted in honor of a special person, you have some compelling reason, so then you're able to do this. Shehari lo kava hayamim b'tchilat haneder. Like David pointed out, the neder was not specifically to fast on this day, but to fast 10 times. So if you started fasting on this day and then some reason presents itself for you not to complete the fast, b'vakasha, eat. You get invited to a wedding. It's not like today where people invite you to their wedding. So actually today it is different. Now, because of Corona, you know, we got invited, you know, to places at the last minute. Right? They said, look, we thought you were just gonna, we were only gonna be able to have you on Zoom, but at the last minute they changed the rules, and instead of only being able to have 20 people, we can have 200 people. So we'd like you to join us. So sometimes we got those invitations, you know, 2 days in advance. So imagine on that very day, you got the wedding invitation. And that was the day that you were planning on doing one of your 10 fasts. So you go, you eat at the wedding, and then you make up that day another time. Nadashi Yatsum Hayom, somebody takes a neder that they're going to fast on this specific day, Vishachach V'achal Mashlim Latsum. So then you make up the fast. Nadashi Yatsum Yom Echad Oshnaim Ukeshehitchil Atsum Shachach V'achal Avad Ta'anito V'chayav Latsum Yom Achir. The Shulchan Aruch says, The Shulchan Aruch here is in the black. The blue is the Rambam of the Ashkenazim.
What was the difference in the Rambam between being your Poreah, if you didn't do it intentionally, versus your after Mashlim? Is there a difference between Poreah and Mashlim?
Yeah, because Mashlim is it's like a knas for your broken neder.
Yeah, but before it's the same amount of fasting. No, it's just one.
But it's how we look. It's whether we look at it is whether or not you violated a neder. The violation of a neder is a very serious transgression.
But there was never a scenario where if you didn't do it, you just like, well, it's over. You mentioned that scenario, like, well, you know.
No, but one case of the mashlim is shachach. It can happen. A person can happen that he forgot it's a fast day, right? So then shachach, you accidentally broke your neder. That's a serious thing. You have to make up for it. The other case is you realize it's not the best day to do one of my 10 fasts, so I'm going to make it up. You know, it's like a person who's supposed to like exercise, you know, 3 times a week, right? You know, the person, his doctor says you have to exercise 3 times a week. You have to walk, you know, 5 kilometers 3 times a week. So a person says, yeah, I'm going to go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm going to do these walks. But on Wednesday, it's, you know, he realizes his schedule is different. Or on Wednesday, it's pouring rain. He can't go out. So that week he'll do it on Monday, Thursday, and Friday to get in his three walks. Another thing is like a person realizes at the end of the, you know, like me, you know, tomorrow I'm going back to the gym. So I know they're going to ask me, and my trainer's going to ask me, okay, did you do the exercises? So what am I going to say? Am I going to say, oh, I forgot? No, I'm going to say I violated my neder, I mean my ki'ilu neder, right? I just didn't do it. I was lazy. They're different. We view them as different. One is a case of ones or shogeg. The other is a case of mezid. The person violates their neder. So the Shulchan Aruch here says, Hanoder latsum asara yamim beze yom sheyirtze, like the Rambam, vaya mitane biyom echad mehem vuhutzrach ledvar mitzvah o mipnei kvod adam gadol, harei ze loveu fore yom echad. Shaharei lo kava yamim betchilat the neder, aval im lo kibel alav kodem lachen lehitanot, Yom echad ela b'mincha kibel alav litanot l'machar mikre ta'anit ze ve'eno yachol alav oto. The Shulchan Aruch says, if, however, you specify that tomorrow I am fasting, tomorrow is my father's yard site, tomorrow, Wednesday, the 21st of April, I am accepting a fast because of the 21st of April, for whatever reason that is, so then you can't do this payback and, you know, make it up and pay it back later, because it'll never be the 21st of April 2021 again, right? That day has come and gone. The Ramos says, "V'kol shechein yom zeh mamash, Kagon she'amar betchilat nidro, etane yom ploni. You specify the date. O etane bet vehei kol shana. Right, a person who takes upon himself that he's going to fast every Monday and Thursday. Those are specific dates that cannot be paid back, because if you don't fast on that Monday, how can you make that up? Right? What's that expression? Yom she'over eino chozer. Okedome lezeh. V'chein im hayat tanit chalom eino yachol elvato. And the Shulchan Aruch specifies, like the position expressed by Rav Yehoshua Bereder of Ide in our Gemara, this does not apply to a Tanit Chalom. Tanit Chalom has its own din, that you have to fast the next day. If the next day, Halacha Lamaisa, oh, hold on a second. V'kol shekein, she'eno yachol levato lefro el Tanit Sibur. And certainly, this does not apply to Taniot Sibur. This, you can't say on Shavuos B'Tammuz, it's an inconvenient day for me to fast, I'm going to fast a different day. No. This is only talking about individual fasts that a person takes. But the calendar fasts for all of the Jewish people together that reflect historical events, this does not apply there. Mihu Tanit Sheni V'Chamishi V'Sheni Shinoagin Latanot Achar Pesach Vesukot, O Afilu Baseret Yimei Tshuva, V'ira Bahem Brit Mila Mitzvah Lechol Ve'enot Tzorech Hatera. But other fasts that are not communal fasts, but are set fasts. He mentions this custom, this widespread, well, once upon a time it was more widespread, today less so, the custom to fast Monday, Thursday, for a cycle following the Yamim Tovim, or many people have a custom to fast on Aseret Yemei Tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There are other days that there are widespread customs to fast. Some people have a minhag to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Some people have a fast, like we're not doing enough fasting that week. Some people have a minhag to fast on Erev Pesach and Erev Sukkot. Erev Pesach, not Tanit Bechorot, but some people have a custom to fast on Erev Sukkot and Erev Pesach. So that night, when you're doing your very special eating, either you're eating of the matzah or you're eating in the sukkah, it should be done with great appetite. But if you have such a custom to fast on such days, and something special comes out, like a Brit Milah that you're meant to attend, so then the Brit Milah overrides the custom, and you don't need to do Hatarat Nedarim. Because the presumption is that when you accept it to fast, a person who has this custom of fasting on Aseret Yemei Tshuva, so the assumption is that when he accepted that fast upon himself, it was kolod, as long as there was no extenuating circumstance in which he should be eating, like at a Brit Milah. Yes, Yehudi.
If, let's say, for example, you're in a place where you can't get to a siyum, v'tanit v'chorim, and you know that the day before,
Then
should you be makabel with tanit, or should you just fast?
No, you don't need, in other words, a tanit, if you're a bechor, you don't need to accept the fast upon yourself. This ancient custom of fasting comes upon you, whether you want, you know, the same way that Shavuos B'Tammuz falls upon you, whether you like it or not, where you don't have to accept Shavuos B'Tammuz or Tanit Esther, right? That's a reflection of the calendar there.
Does that have a status?
Tanit Bechorot certainly does not have the status of Shavuos B'Tammuz or Tanit Esther or any of the rest. It's a minhag, it's not a din. And it's a minhag that's so, shall we say, so weak that we all universally get out of it through making a siyum. Nowadays, we all do it by Zoom. Last year, I said this, by the way. Last year, at least here, nobody was able to go to shul on Erev Pesach because we were all on lockdown. So everybody understood, you know, we were going to have siyumim on Zoom, and there were all the siyumim on Zoom, and that's what we did. What can you do? You had no choice. And I said last year, not slippery slope, but I said this is going to become the new normal. And sure enough, this year on Erev Pesach, in our shul, in our shul, somebody was there with the camera, broadcasting the siyum from the phone for I don't know for who, but it was being done over Zoom, over Facebook, or whatever it was for the people that could not participate live.
Could you eat meat during the 9 days after hearing her Zoom siyum?
I don't know. I didn't hear that people were being matir that this past summer.
Sure.
But I don't know. I don't know. You'd have to ask a posek if that's proper. It doesn't seem so proper to me. You know, altogether, these siyumim that we have during the 9 days, I saw there was a meme going around on Facebook. You know, the siyum on Erev Pesach for Tanis Bechoros. It's Tam Tams and Bisli. You know, it's like, like the most, you know, the half a little bitten cracker left over before the Sreifat Chametz and nothing. But a Tanit on the 9 days, it's filet mignon and champagne and, all types of other things. Aval im shalchem lo leveito, en lo lechol. But he says, but if you were not present at the bris, let's say you couldn't, maybe this is, you know, Adarab, but this is a good rai, what the Ramah here says. The Ramah, of course, could not have anticipated Zoom. But he says, if you're not able to go to the bris, but the Bala Bris sends you a shalach manas, a basket full of the food that, that was served, you know, a goodie bag from the Bris. If you weren't present, you shouldn't eat from it if it's your fast day. Vim kibela lav lehitanot ben mincha tzarech lehitanot. Yesh omrim she'im mitztair harbe betanito yachol liftoto b'mamon. Those that say if you're in great distress and great agony, I presume this means physical, you can redeem your fast with money, right? You give a certain sum to tzedakah in place of the fast. And again, we're not talking about Tisha B'Av and Asar B'Teivet. We're talking about these individual fasts. V'hu adin ba'onas acher, or if it's, you know, some other extenuating circumstance. V'nira dafka b'kibel alav hatanid ba'alma. V'alim kibel derech neder tzarech l'kayam nidro. So the Ramo differentiates between a person who actually makes a real neder that they're going to fast versus somebody who merely accepted the notion upon himself but without making a proper neder. If it wasn't a proper neder, there's a lot more wiggle room, but if it was an actual neder, he says you should be stringent and really, you know, barring medical need, not break your fast. The Mishnah Brura, when the Shulchan Aruch earlier had said here at the top that you accept upon yourself an unspecified fast. You don't say, I'm going to fast on this specific date. You say, I'm going to fast. And you wake up in the morning, you say, okay, today's the day I'm going to make good on that promise to fast. And then you encounter a dvar mitzvah. So you can do this payback thing. So the Mishnah Berurah says, "Kigon lebrit milah." You know, as you show up in shul and you realize, oh, it's not like today where somebody would have sent you a text or a Facebook or a Zoom invite. You'd show up in shul, there'd be a brit. Who was invited to the brit? All the people that came to shul. So you show up in shul on the day that you thought you were fasting, and there's a brit. And the brit has, you know, holy bagel and lox and coffee and all the good things. Oh, siu mesechet. But nevertheless, on such a day, you should fast a little more than you normally do. Because normally you wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you wash negelvaz, you get dressed, you daven, and then you have breakfast. So on such a day, if you realize that you're not going to be able to fast on a day that you thought you were going to fast, you should still fast a little bit. You should still wait to have that first coffee a little later than you normally would.
That's good.
V'afilu hefziru bo l'simchat mireyut sharei mipnei darkei shalom aval miloshan ha-shulchan aruch shekatab mipnei kvod ha-adam gadol mashma de dafka mipnei kvodo shemafzir bo aval mipnei shar anashim lo. And even if somebody, you know, as you go to shul, when I was a kid, I've often told the story, when I was a kid There was a l'chaim every morning after davening. You know, somebody always had yard sight, right? So every morning, and this was just the way that they would get people to show without that bottle of wild turkey and those little shot glasses and the kichel or the Stella Doro Swiss fudge cookie or whatever it was. It wasn't great delicacies, I assure you. But without that little l'chaim every morning, those 10, 12 old men would not have made it. They kept that minion going on the strength of that bottle of wild turkey. And so just for that, it wouldn't be enough to break your fast, right? Even if they say, oh, come on, have a drink with us, be one of the guys, that would not be enough to break the fast. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam had specified, Mipnei Kvod Adam Gadol. Right? If there's really somebody unique, somebody special, somebody of great importance, that's when you can say, oh, I want to participate in that, in the dinner or in the event that's in his honor.
You mentioned that the Rambam had brought this idea of the Torah, Mipnei Kvod Adam Gadol, and it wasn't in the Gemara.
Yeah,
and the Shulchan Aruch brings it also, but it's strange unless it's from some other location, because the one example we had in the sugya was talking about, you know, I don't know who was, if he was considered Rav Gadol, but he went to Rav Ashi. You think like
no, but it wasn't. It wasn't. It was. In other words, what does it mean? In other words, is it that he's your host, or is it that there's some, or he's being hosted? In other words, if I go to your house. And you say, have something to eat. And I say, no, I'm fasting today. It's not an insult to you. But if the shul is having a dinner in your honor, and I come and I don't eat, I'm not participating in the honor to you. So maybe that's the distinction. So it's not that it's not, you know, no, but in that case altogether, it was different. Wait a second. That case was different. That case, he would have eaten, except what? It was a Tanit Chalom. And Tanit Chalom is a separate din, in which case you can't get out of the Tanit Chalom. Even for Kavod Adam Gadol. So that's, David, that's the answer to the question. Okay, we'll end here. We'll continue. We finished up to the Mishnah. We'll continue with the next Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis starting next Tuesday. Okay.
Yishar Chacha Rabbah.
Todah Rabbah. See you all next week. Yeah.